All right, well, as you know, Matt is traveling this morning and preaching at a church in Northeast Ohio, I believe. And so in Matt's absence, I'm looking forward to covering this morning's Sunday school lesson. And today is just going to be a one-off. I'm not going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. As you know, we've been covering the Holy Spirit as part of what Matt's been doing in Sunday school. And so this morning, I thought we could take a look at the third commandment. And last Wednesday at our prayer meeting here at the church, we used the Lord's Prayer that we recite each and every Sunday as part of a church to guide our time together in our prayer. And as you know, that prayer starts off with, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your name be hallowed. May it be respected. May it be honored. May it be cherished." And that is the very first thing that our Lord teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, is that his name is to be set apart from other names, that his name is to be holy, that his name is to be respected and honored. Well, aside from the Lord's Prayer, the other place in Scripture that talks about the Lord's name is, of course, the third commandment. And in the third commandment, it says that we shall not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. And it shows us the importance of using God's sacred name in the manner by which he requires. And so what I thought we could do this morning then is just to spend a few minutes considering the name of God and considering the name of God from the third commandment. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 20 as we look at the Ten Commandments, and specifically in verse 7. And I thought we could just look at this very briefly under three headings. First, we'll look at the name of God. And then secondly, we'll look at the misuse of that name, ways that our culture and society have misused the name of God. And then finally, this commandment is somewhat unusual in that it has an annex associated to it, a warning that God gives us if we are not to use his name in the way that he is required. And so we'll look at those very briefly in the time we have this morning. And as we prepare to read this verse, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord, we are so we're so thankful this morning to meet and to look at this third commandment. We pray that in all that we do, that we would treat your name above all others, as the Apostle Paul even teaches, that your name is the name that is above all other names, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would help us as we endeavor to respect you and to cherish and to honor your name. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, the third commandment says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." I'm curious, what comes to your mind when you hear this commandment? And in what ways do you think that this commandment might be violated today or misused or broken today? Any thoughts on that? Yeah, Josh?
I think of marriage.
Okay.
Like Bride of Christ. Like names kind of signify who or what the thing is.
Okay. So Josh gave the example of a young lady who gets married and does part of that union and relationship and marriage changes her last name to her new husband's last name. Okay. Yeah, Billy?
I also think of the prosperity gospel when they say, if you do this, God will multiply your bank account. That's a nifty and wrong use of God's name in general.
Yeah, absolutely. So so we can break this commandment by not necessarily misusing his name, but by misusing his character, his attributes, the way that he's revealed himself in Scripture. Yeah,
Jesus. Just an exclamation and anger or excitement or
sure.
Several other reasons, I suppose you could. But
Yeah, in fact, that's the way that I just would naturally tend to think of this commandment, is that we, you know, I used to think of myself as like, well, this commandment doesn't necessarily apply to me because I'm not known as one who uses profanity or vulgarity in my everyday language, right? And so, okay, I got it. Let's move on to the next commandment. But as you know, in the Ten Commandments, that each command is much more expansive as we begin to study them than we might otherwise think. And so such is the case with this command. And we'll look at some ways in which this commandment in particular is a, perhaps more expansive than we would first think. Yeah, Matt?
Also, I just think, to me, one of the most common ways this commandment is validated is just the casualness with which people use the name of God. And you just hear all the time in TV shows, Hollywood news, even just, oh my God, you know, that kind of thing. Just very, very casual use of God's name is just a very disrespectful and irreverent way. I think that's the most common way we see it used.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the frivolous nature by which we sort of just toss around the covenant name of that God has given us in Scripture and the lightheartedness that we would see it used in today's culture.
Leslie?
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, that his name is the name that is above every name. Unfortunately, in society, we see it so many times being misused or, you know, even as Matt said, the frivolous nature by which we would use his name. I think you had a question or a comment?
I was going to say, you know, along the lines of Leslie said, any time that we, and I think we're all guilty at times, of dropping the name of God, and we really are not speaking of him or about him or calling on him.
Mm.
You know, the casualness of, oh my God, we're not talking about real God. We're not talking to him. We're not imploring him. Or other situations like that. That really got me a few years ago, that I was doing that to some degree and had to repent.
I've heard it taught, I can't remember who, but that when we casually say to one another, I'll pray for you, and we actually don't, we are taking his name in vain. And that was incredibly convicting, but an encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely. When we say we'll do something and then we don't, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's no surprise to us that we are living in a day and age in which profanity and vulgarity is commonplace. And there are TV shows and our movies and our entertainment ads, workplaces. You know, not long ago, profanity was banned from TV. There were actually laws that prevented profanity from being spoken of in television. And in recent years, you even have vulgar language being taught from the pulpit in churches because it's a way to reach people where they are, and you got to say something shocking. And you know, we were just watching a game. Samuel and I were the other night, a basketball game, and one of the players made a great play that was unexpected, to which the announcer exclaimed, "Oh my God!" in response to that, and no one even thinks twice about it anymore. But not only do you see God's name connected with cursing, but his name is oftentimes used in a frivolous or joking manner. The trivial use of God's name is nowadays almost ubiquitous in society. You hear Jesus being referred to as the man upstairs. Or, you know, you see bumper stickers that used to be more popular than they are now, but Jesus is my co-pilot. It's this idea that he's my buddy or he's my pal. And then one of my favorite ones that it seems to be a recent invention is people will say, well, I will pray for you and send you good vibes, as though in case my prayers for you were not effective, perhaps these vibes will do something to make you better. This command, as we said, is far more expansive than we might think. We might think of it as only those four-letter words that we are not to say, but what about the other subtle ways that we might break this command? What about when we tell somebody, good luck? What are we insinuating when we tell someone good luck? Well, we're saying that God is not the sovereign universe of this world, but we hope that luck will be with you, this force that is out there. Or when we say, gosh darn it, it has the same meaning as the other word, but perhaps we think it softens the blow, but it comes out of the same heart attitude. And so, while the third commandment certainly includes cursing, there are other ways that God's name can also be taken into vain. Oaths and sinful vows. I think we had mentioned it before that we, when we swear into God's name, we are making a vow into God himself that we will incur his wrath and judgment if he doesn't do the things, or if we don't do the things that are promised in this vow. And so, this commandment governs all of our thoughts, all of our words, all of our deeds. And it governs our failure to use God's name in a way that honors him. And so I thought we could just spend a few minutes just looking at the name of God. You know, God is not to be approached casually. He is not to be approached on our own terms. God is utterly holy, and he is set apart. I was just thinking over this past few days of the scene in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah is taken up into heaven. And he sees the Lord seated upon a throne, and he is surrounded by angels. And the seraphim have six wings, and they have, of course, two wings to fly, but what are the other two wings for? Two wings to cover their eyes, because they can't partake of all of his glory in the throne, and then two wings to cover their feet. And so they were in the presence of God Almighty. You think of Moses in the burning bush, and what was the first command that God gave to Moses when Moses approached him? He says, Moses, take off your sandals, for the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. And so God is God, and we are to regard him as holy, and that means that we are to treat his name with honor and with respect. Secondly, we see that the Lord has graciously revealed his covenant name to us. God was under no obligation to share his covenant name. To know God's name is to have access to him. And one of the most beautiful things that God has done for us in Scripture is to reveal his covenant name. And of course, the Jews would not even utter his name, right? For fear of breaking this commandment. And so when the word Lord appears in the Old Testament, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, They would translate that, or they would use the consonants YHWH for Yahweh, known as the Tetragrammaton, which we would have pronounced Yahweh. And so when they come to that word Yahweh, they don't actually say that word, but they use the word Adonai, which is a similar word to Lord, but it means Lord in a different way, like David is Lord. And so modern-day Jews won't even write the word God. They will write G_D for fear of breaking this commandment. And so, these are ways that the Lord, though, has revealed his covenant name to us. Also, if we call ourselves Christians, we bear God's name, don't we? We bear Christ's name. His name stands for his reputation. And you already bear your family's name. It means something to be a Burns, right? It means something to be a Bonner, to be a Hendrickson, because that is your family's name. There's a reputation there. Well, in a similar way, as Christians, we bear Christ's name. And when we use language that belittles his name, we tarnish his reputation. I was thinking of what it says in the book of Acts, that the apostles considered it worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. And so we bear God's name, we bear Christ's name. And so the things that we do are either supporting his reputation and his glory and his beauty, or they're tarnishing his reputation and glory and beauty. In the language that we use. And so, as we said in Philippians chapter 2, that Paul said that his name is the name that is above all names. And so as Christians, we are followers of the one who possesses that name above all names. And so the language that we use then should be language that recognizes him as the Lord and recognizes his glory and honor in our interactions with others. Any questions or comments so far? Yeah.
All right. This may be getting into the second commandment, but people portraying Christ in movies and TV shows, even if it's used for evangelical purposes, evangelism, what are your thoughts on that? Is that breaking the commandment for someone to portray Christ?
Yeah, that was a good question. Did you all hear the question? What do you think of in movies nowadays for actors to take on the role of Christ? And any thoughts on that? Is that in a way breaking the second commandment or the third commandment?
I think it could be both. You know, I mean, my thought on the third commandment is probably like everyone. You grow up thinking this pertains to saying, oh my God, or Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, or some exclamation. But you know, when the Catechism talks about how we are to keep the third commandment, it talks about the reverent use of not only his name, but his titles, ordinance, word, works. So it's much more holistic than just simply the words we're using. And so when I actually think about this most actively being broken, you know, when the sports announcer says it, maybe I should be more offended. But I'm honestly thinking, his God's not my God. When he says, oh my God, right, you know, the word God is not necessarily indicative of Yahweh or Adonai, right? And so maybe I should be more offended. Maybe I should wish that we live in a more Christian culture in which their God is my God. But, you know, I'm probably more offended or think the third commandment is more flagrantly, you know, advocated when fellow Christians, and I would say in this case, you know, maybe make a representation of Christ, but it doesn't just have to be a physical representation. It could be anything that is contradicting the Word of God and the ordinances and truths therein. So, you know, you see this rampant in broader evangelicalism for someone who is going to wear the name of Christ or, you know, use the church as, whether it be a platform or a spokesman, and Matt said this as it relates to the, you know, the prosperity gospel, that's an easy one to pick on. But I think it's pretty common in all sorts of aspects where there's false teaching and false doctrine. And I think similarly, you know, if you think about that with your family, if I were going and representing, you know, the jock's name, it's hard for us to imagine how we would say, use, you know, my children or me with my parents, how I would use the name jocks. But it's really easy to think about ways that I would bring shame on them by my behavior or expressing things about that they believe or that we believe that are not true. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's a way in which, the third commandment gets more easily neglected. You know, I mean, the prosperity gospel is easy, but there's lots of ways in which, you know, the way we communicate about who God is or who Jesus is false, right? Or is against the character of God, right? For instance, like you said, with reverence. I remember hearing someone pray, and now, not to be too controversial, but it was done in such an irreverent fashion, right? Essentially, hey God, you know, and I'm sure some of you have heard this, and this was in a very Christian setting, right? And the prayer started with, hey God, kind of like you're having a phone call. And I couldn't help but think, there's no way that's appropriate. You know, now that's a simple way. I don't know that there's necessarily any false doctrine right there, but there was a lot of irreverence there. So I think there's, you know, I think you could say that is, while the second commandment surely applies to representations of Christ, also what is it communicating about who Christ is in that representation?
Yeah, those are all great points. And so when we would hear an unbeliever use the Lord's name in vain, that's one thing. But when we hear someone who professes to be a Christian and a follower of Christ misuse his name, how much greater weight does that carry, right? Because as Christians, we bear the name of Christ. And so we are called to use his name in a way that recognizes his glory. Did that help to address that question? You know, names carry weight. Names carry authority. Names carry honor. And as parents, we know this well. Our two girls share a room, and it's of course always messy. And so we'll tell one of the girls to clean the room, and they will say, "Well, no, it's my sister's mess." And so I'll say something like, okay, well, go tell your sister to clean the room. And it doesn't get done. And then, but if I say, Dad said, go clean your room, now it's a different story. The room finally gets clean, right? Because Dad's name carries weight. And so in a similar way, when we write a check, I know many of us don't write checks anymore, but when we sign our name for a credit card slip, our name carries with it weight, and it carries with it authority. We are, in a way, putting our name and reputation on the line when we sign a check that says that if this check doesn't cash, then I'm responsible for it. And so in a similar way, our Lord's name carries with it weight and honor and authority, but much more honor and authority than our names, of course, would carry. I think, Josh, you had a question?
Just a comment. You were mentioning how the Jewish people will not write the name of God. Just made me have a couple thoughts how, like, the Word tells us that anything not obeyed the sin and our righteousness are like filthy rags. So I think it can be said that the essence of sin is anything that's not done in faith, amongst other things. So in seeking to do good, the Jewish people, in a sense, outside of fellowship with God, outside of faith and reliance on Him, they're building the very thing that they're trying not to do, if you will. Does that make sense?
Right, because they're, on the surface, they're doing something that they think is important, but really at the heart of the matter, the heart is not theirs.
They're doing it on their own.
Yeah, right. Well, that definitely makes sense.
You mentioned the Lord's Prayer, and that actually made me think of this because Christ, I mean, it's really important to put the Lord's Prayer in context. Christ is talking, first he says the Pharisees, then he says the Gentiles. You know, like the Pharisees, like, proclaim their righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And they're proclaiming their righteousness, not God's. And then the Gentiles, you know, heap up words. They're like, they're trying to appease or, like, you know, give favors almost to God, and these are both like misuses of not just the name of God but the character of God. And I'm learning Greek. I'm very excited about it. The name onoma is the word for name in the Greek, and the word also actually means reputation or like the what a person like stands for, basically.
Interesting. Very cool. Yeah, that's a really good, interesting insight into that. So, modern day fundraising knows the importance of getting a name right. I got a call the other day from the Oklahoma State Alumni Association, and they said, can we speak to the head of the house? And I said, well, I guess that's me. What can I help you with? And they go, yes, Mr. Byrne, we wanted to let you know this and this and this. I mean, they couldn't even get my name right? And so fundraisers know that the difference between a donation and one and not a donation would be in getting the person's name right. And so there are so many different places in all of Scripture that we can see how important the name of God is. In the song that we sang this morning, Holy, 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 I love the four stanzas that says, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Psalm 23, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 31, for you are my rock and fortress, and for your name's sake you lead and guide me. Acts 5:41, they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there was no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so, this is a very, very small sample of all of Scripture that talks about the name of God and just how many times we see it throughout the pages of Scripture. Barrett referenced the Westminster Catechism. Questions 112 and 113 address the third commandment. And there are paragraphs in that catechism that talks about the third commandment. And just to give you a quick summary on question 112, the third commandment requires that the name of God, his titles, attributes, ordinances, the word, sacraments, prayer, oaths, vows, lots, his works, and whatsoever else there is whereby he makes himself known, be holy and reverently used in thought, meditation, word, and writing, by a holy profession, an answerable conversation to the glory of God and the good of others. So you might think, well, how in the world can we do all this, right? And I think one of the things that the Catechism shows us is the infinite worth of our Lord Jesus Christ, that in every way Christ honored his Father's name, that he never once in thought, word, or deed misused his Father's name or used it wrongly. And so the third commandment, as we've said, not only tells us about the importance of God's name, but about the misuse of his name. It's not just about cursing, profanity, mocking, or using his name irreverently, but it also means, as we've said, any frivolous use of his name or insincere, thoughtless use of his name. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, on the day of judgment, people will give an account not for every intentional word that they said, but for every careless word that they said, every word that was mentioned in passing people will give an account for. And so we see that God has given us such a wonderful directive by which to use his name. And he has given us his Ten Commandments, and not because he had to, but he gave it to us out of grace so that we may know how to use his law appropriately. In the Westminster Confession, Catechism question 113, it says, what are the sins forbidden in the third commandment? And again, this one is quite long. I'm not going to read all of it, but it says that we are not to use God's name or the abuse of it in an ignorant, vain, irreverent, profane, superstitious, or wicked mentioning, or otherwise using his titles, attributes, ordinances, or works by blasphemy, perjury, all sinful cursings, oaths, vows, and lots, violating of our oaths and vows. And it goes on and on and on through on question 113. Well, the final point for this morning is to, as we're just about to run out of time, is God's warning that he attaches to the third commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And out of all of the Ten Commandments, only this third commandment attaches a warning to it, lest you think this command is insignificant or lest you think it's unimportant, then our Lord attaches a reason to it, that he will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Every wrong use of God's name causes us to be liable to the judgment of God. And you say, well, why does God put such a special focus on the use of his name? And I think that that God puts such a focus on it because our speech reveals the state of our hearts, doesn't it? In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so our speech can demonstrate the true state of our hearts. And if we are people who are known for repeatedly blaspheming the name of God, if we're known for repeatedly using his name in a manner by which we shouldn't, then perhaps our hearts have not been given over to the Lord. And so our speech reveals the habits of our hearts. And if it is our practice where we continually blaspheme, then perhaps that should cause us to question whether we've been saved in the first place. And so those who do not trust in Christ and submit to him have not been justified. And those who have not been justified still bear punishment for their guilt. And so that we can be thankful that the Lord, for those of us whom he has saved, that the Lord gives us grace, right? And so when we read this, we can think, well, how in the world can I ever do this? But the Lord gives us his grace, and that that when we ask for forgiveness for using his name in a manner that we shouldn't, that he forgives us, doesn't he? And we can be thankful that he is a God of mercy, that he knows every sin that we've ever committed or every sin that we will commit in the future. And yet he is gracious to us. And that is the word, the warning of our Lord, lest we read this and we think, what's the use? we can be grateful that our Lord loves us, and that he, even despite our sin, he draws near to us. We are coming up to the end of our time together. Are there any final comments, any final feedback? Yeah. Insights?
Well, tell me if you agree. Because we're so afraid to use God's name wrongly and in vain, I feel like we never use Jesus' name. And I guess I've been convicted of that with Muslims, because when something happens, they will say, Alhamdulillah, or, you know, thank God, and to start thinking, well, I can say that too and mean it, you know. And that, thank God, it's a beautiful day. Thank you, God, for the rain. Or to say, thank you, Jesus. I feel like I hardly bring up Jesus in my everyday talk. And I may have overdone it. I had people, Japanese ladies, leave my house and say, why does Marsha always bring Jesus into everything? I just feel like maybe we need to use God's name properly. He says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Mm. We can run there and be saved. That's just what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's a great point. Any thoughts on that? Yeah.
Flippantly, well, thank God, but they're not really thanking God. She said, in her own speech, rather than judge everybody else, in her own speech, she decided, I will make it intentional, and rather than say thank God, she'll say, I thank my God for this. Mm-hmm. And that made all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. And that made a lot of difference in my mind, too. I'm not that good at always speaking it that way, but just to make it more personal, to draw a distinction between what the world does and what the Christian does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I think that's a very important thing. We can look at this command and think, well, for fear of breaking it, you know, similar to the Jews, right? I'm not even going to mention his name at all. But God is gracious to us in giving us his covenant name revealed in Scripture. And instead of not using his name, we can use it for his glory, and in ways that would recognize his honor. And certainly we would use his name as we're telling others the gospel and sharing with others perhaps what Christ has done in our lives. And going back to what we said earlier, as Christians, we bear the name of Christ. And so in our everyday walk with him, are we showing others that Christ is in us? And are we showing the world what Christ has done through us? Yeah, Aaron?
I guess on that point, just as we've been talking, it's neat to see this commandment is a not, like don't do this thing, which you can kind of go, well, that feels a little restricted, but as I've been thinking about it, it's as long as you don't do that, you are free. You can speak his name, you can praise him, you can do it reverently, you can do all those things.
Mm-hmm. We'll go Marianne first and then Matt.
When Marsha was speaking, I couldn't help but think of how important it is with teaching children from the very earliest. And I thought of a pastor's wife and preschool teacher who just routinely, as she observed the day, would say, let's thank God for the beautiful sunshine, or let's thank God that he's watering the flowers, you know, whichever way it went. And she was always, always narrating that God was the creator. And I think that's very, very helpful in embedding in children's hearts the majesty of our God.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Bringing students back to the sovereign creator of the universe, and reminding them all the time that they are to perceive of this world through the eyes of a believer, and to see that all of God's works are manifold in creation, right? And yeah, that's a great, Matt?
Yeah, I just wanted to just
piggyback on what's been said, Marcia, on that, and Mariana just said, every commandment has the opposite in mind as well. So when you hear the do not, the reverse is also true. So for instance, do not kill. Well, that the inference is that we should preserve life. We should do everything we can to preserve, to protect life. So in this instance, the same is true, in that we're commanded to not take the Lord's name in vain. So we're to revere the Lord's name, to revere and use it reverently and honorably. And so when we do that, like when we're talking to Muslims or whatever, you know, that says a lot about what we believe, you know, and so we can exalt him and revere him the way we use his name. And so, yes, thank the Lord for the day and use his name with reverence. And when we do that, it speaks volumes. A great example, I'll close with this, is that I had the privilege of having a class with Sinclair Ferguson. It was Doctrine of God. And the one thing that I walked away with in that class more than anything was just the way that he talked about God. I mean, just the reverent way that he talked about it with such carefulness and such just really careful about the way he talked about it and talked about God with reverence and holiness. I was just astounded. Like, here's a man, godly man, who really knows God by the way that he's talking about God. And so that's, we can do the same thing with how we talk about God with others.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that into view again. And that seems to be the theme of several different comments that, yeah, we are called positively to use his name in a way that would bring him honor. And so we shouldn't view the command as only something that we are to stay away from, but as something that we are to pursue and to show others about the greatness of our Lord. All right, with that, I will pray to close us, and then we will, let's go from here. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to spend time in your word this morning. We are thankful to you for giving us your covenant name as revealed in Scripture. We pray that we would always use your name in a way that shows honor and glory to you. We pray that you would forgive us and for the times that we don't. And we pray, Lord, that as we go from here, we would be an ambassador for Christ, being quick to share with others the wondrous works that you have done. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.